It's one of the things that I hope we don't do. You know, we've been privileged as believers in this country for a long time. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you know, listen, when we stand before Jesus Christ, if none of you've shared the gospel, you have no excuse. You've lived in a country where you were free to speak. You were free to testify. You know what? I wonder what's going to happen when we lose that. We're on our way. Y'all realize that? We're on our way. See, a lot of y'all think you can give up a little and 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 it's going to be all right. But you know what? Here's what I found. You give up a little, a little, a little, a little. Eventually, you've given up a whole lot. Have y'all found that to be true? And so, you know, I want us to just kind of, folks, we're coming into this Holy Week season here shortly. You know, it's going to be Easter before you know it. Did y'all realize that? And we're going to be on a Sunday morning where we celebrate the ultimate human happening, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the completion of grace to all creation. And so I think sometimes we need to be reminded that we don't just come Sunday after Sunday because it's required to be here once a week. We come because there's a God that is changing our lives. How many of y'all glad to know that there's a God that's changing your lives? A God that's changing my life. Billy Lowe, we're not doing church on Main because we needed to fill up an empty building on Main Street. We're there because we believe there's a God that'll change your life. How many of y'all believe there's a Jesus Christ and He absolutely will change your life? If we were just pause right now and stand up and have testimony time, you know what's so exciting in this particular service? There's some of you that have stories that can only be blamed on God. How many of you all are living a story of life that can only be blamed on God? But watch this. I know some of you who grew up in the church, you're going, well, I don't have a dynamic testimony. I've been a good person all my life. Well, that's your first lie. You have been good according to the standard of a group of religious people that aren't good in the first place. Amen. So when you have a weak standard, how many of you all always look good in a weak standard? When I'm in the gym, I always try to find somebody really old to work out beside. I don't go find that young built dude. He makes me feel bad, you know? But one time I was in the gym and I was making fun of those ladies that do all that twisting and bending and aerobic stuff. And so they stuck their head out the door and said, "We're working abs. Come in there." When I was sweating, dying, and talking to Jesus, and there was an 85-year-old woman, I mean, she was just going along like it was nobody's business. I walked out of the gym and said, "Lord, I may die soon." You know? Which is, how many of y'all try to find somebody to compare yourself to that makes you look a little better? Well, I want to tell you, we all today, here's what I want you to hear. We start in the same place with God. And here's the good news. We finish in the same place with God. We start in the same place with God. And we finish in the same place to God. So we're going to see how that resolves some things. I want you to hear one great hope we got. In the name of Jesus, you and I have the ability to change our mind. Amen. How many of y'all glad to know that your mind can change? Yes. Now, sometimes men go, "Well, my wife changes her mind all the time." Well, guess what? You need to change yours too. How many of y'all need to change your mind about some things? Until your mind is changed, guess what? You'll never repent. We're talking about repentance today. You know, and Jamie, a lot of times people got repentance as some kind of, you know, that it's this dynamic, you know, where everybody can see it, mourning thing. It's literally, as those of you who preach know, the Greek word is change of mind, change of understanding, repositioning your thought process. So how many of y'all need to reposition your thought process today? So I'm going to pray, and you know what I'm going to ask God? I'm going to tell you what, I believe there's an area in everybody's life today, in our minds, it probably needs to be repositioned. What do you think? And if some of y'all are sitting there thinking, "Well, I don't have anything," that's what it is. If we were working clinically there, that means you're absolutely in denial. And those are the nastiest. Those are piranha people. People that are in denial. "I don't have anything wrong with me. I never do anything wrong." Y'all ever had any friends like that? How many of y'all have eaten dinner with somebody that's never done anything wrong? You've been out with that couple. They're perfect. They're gross, aren't they? Because here's what you know they're not perfect, but they think they're perfect. But today we're really going to do it. We're going to really deal with changing of the mind. Jamie, have you pastored any perfect people? But have you pastored some that thought they were perfect? Oh, I have too. I have too. And I have found over the years that people who are perfect always want to help you pastor because they realize you're imperfect immediately. And they want you to live up to their standard of perfection. Okay? These things really cause trouble. But we got some good news today. How many of y'all glad you can change your mind? Change your mind. I'm going to tell you right now, Pastor Mark, as we have journeyed together a little bit over this Thursday evening incident, we have been reminded, haven't we, Mark, that the things of this world are temporarily and can change what? You know, here's Mark. We're going home. It's a Thursday. It's supposed to storm. We tell everybody goodbye in the office when we leave. And I said, I got to go pick up with Mom. I got to go get Clacy in Nashville. And all of a sudden, I get this phone call. Steve, my house is on fire. How's your house on fire? You know, I thought Mark might have been grilling inside, but it wasn't. Lightning hit his house, and it changed the house. But it didn't change Mark. And it didn't change Tina. And you know what I loved about the thing? Half of Hillview was having worship out there on the front lawn, Scottsville Road. It's a house. But you know what? Hold on, guys. We say things don't matter, but we hold on to them. But we need to be reminded that things change quickly. How many of y'all have had something change quickly? Change quickly. Yeah. Well, guess what? The only thing that's going to matter is not what you hold on to. Because watch this. I can't hold on to it forever. Does that make sense? How many of y'all have tried to hold on to your children? I mean, I don't know why you do that, but why? Those of you that have done that, guess what they're going to do? Hopefully. They're supposed to go. I just want to help some of you young parents. They're leaving. If they leave and stay gone, that's called a successful parent. That's the design to go and prosper. Make sense? To go and become. It's not to hover and hoover over them. In fact, our generation, the name of our parents in this generation, they've turned the corner. They call us helicopter parents because we're constantly hovering over our children. Dave, you just wait. I guarantee you it's coming if it hadn't come yet. You're going to get a call from a mother who has a son that's employed by you that's 40 years old, and she's upset about his work evaluation. I knew it happened. And you say, where'd that start? Because, Tim Murley, I guarantee you, you all have one whole server at the Warren County designated to parents' complaints about teachers. Now, when I was going back to school, I guarantee you, you could have put that on a note card. I mean, this is how much things have changed in a short amount of time. I don't know about y'all, but when I went to school, the teacher was correct. I mean, you were doomed as a kid. I mean, if I looked at my father and said, well, I don't like my teacher, he goes, you're going to like her. Well, she gave me an F. If I told him that she gave me an F, that wouldn't have flown. And you know what? They did produce a generation that had some responsibility. Now we're producing a generation that doesn't even understand the concept of responsibility. We're $16 trillion in debt and surprised on how we got there. We see, we didn't get there by spending money. We got there by changing our minds as a culture with this understanding. I'm just going to go ahead and lay it out. This isn't political here. This is facts. When a human being feels entitled, they will destroy themselves. And we've created five generations rolling of entitlement thinking. So here's what I want to show you. I want to show you in the scripture where we start with God. God lovingly and mercifully forgave us. We did not get saved because we deserved it or because we were such precious, good little creatures that God looked upon us and said, oh, good little creatures, I must save you because of your goodness. Now, this bothers a lot of people because you've been taught from day one in culture that you're wonderful and you're warm and you're brilliant and you're just waiting to bud forth and become the butterfly that was once a caterpillar. not. Now think about it for a minute. Naturally. No, what did I say? Feed that word back to me. Do you lean for what is the glory of God or is for what is the glory of you? Let me break that down Kentucky-wise. Do you want what God wants most of the time or do you want what you want most of the time? Even people who say God's called them, I'll get these people come in my office sometimes. God's called me into the ministry. I said, well, you got to be able to talk to preach. Oh, you got to be able to understand some stuff. This is the one I love the most. People lose their job and they get a call into the ministry. This is not an easy task. In fact, somebody asked me, they said, what's it like to work once a week? I said, I don't know. I pastor. I said, I'd been a politician if I wanted to know that. See what I'm saying? What does it mean to work at it? What does it mean to change your mind? What does it mean to not feel entitled, but to be filled with faith? Does this make sense? All right, we're hitting home where we live today. I see some of you getting nervous. Some of you going, Pastor Harris, I am entitled. No, you're not. If you feel entitled today, you're really just conned. Because guess what I've seen them? All people who feel entitled, they die, just like everybody else. So apparently, we have a lot more in common than we have different. What do you think? Let me tell you some things we have in common. How many of y'all had to get born? Yeah, me too. How many of you, it really doesn't matter where you were born, you got here. It really doesn't matter what color you were born, you're here, right? So would you agree with me that everybody is available for an encounter with God? Yes. You're here. First qualification, God saves humans. He doesn't have, you know, little buggies up in heaven that save the whales and the dogs and everything that we save down here. Isn't it amazing? We spend billions of dollars to save everything but humans. And then even what we attempt to save really won't be saved. Because if you believe the scripture, what happens to all that we see at this moment? It will be gone sometime. But then there's the things that we don't see that will last forever. And we tend to pay a whole lot less attention to the things that last forever and a whole lot more attention to the things that will be gone shortly. True? How many of y'all have spent more time on your hair than you did in Bible study? And it fell out. Or how many of you spent more time doing whatever it is than really hearing what God's got to say to you? Well, let's go to Colossians, verse 21. It tells us where we stand with God naturally. Where do we stand with God naturally? Now, I'm not saying human beings are bad things, because who does God want to be with? Us, human beings. Okay? God took a deep breath and he created human beings, didn't he? And I think it's very important that you realize that. I don't believe that you evolved from something, not you as a human being. And I think that you say, well, what does that got to do with it? It's got a lot to do with it. God made human beings specially. They're different than everybody. How many of y'all realize you're different than your dog? How many of y'all know you're different? Y'all need a head nod or something. You're not different than you. You're different. You can think, you can reason. Now watch this. Human beings were made, designed to be absolutely in relationship with God. So what happened? We fell into sin. We have a conscious ability to choose. We can make a decision. How many of y'all realize we can make a decision? We hate that sometimes, don't we? Because if you can make a decision, what happens? All right, Susie, you're exactly right. You may not be, I like the way Susie said it. You may not be right. See, she's hedging her bet. But you could be what? You could be wrong, or you could be correct. We have those abilities, right? But here's what I'm going to tell you. Our minds do not naturally lean into heaven. Does that make sense? My thinking won't naturally go to bless you. Most time it'll go to bless what? It'll go bless me. You do that? I do that. I want to see what's in it for what? Even when we're doing good works, what's it really about? Have you ever seen somebody that gives a list of all the good works they've done? Because they've told you about, watch this. You can always hear people what they really believe in. I did this, 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 I did this. So what's the motivation? Me, 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 me. I mean, we're into that. Now, hold on. We have to really work in our culture because guess what? We're in this super hyper me culture. I mean, everything's about us. Everything's about us. We got personal space. We got personal communication devices. We got personal earbuds. We got our autograph on everything. And it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. So it's really hard to understand when God, when he begins to deliver a message to us, he says, wait a minute, you're mine. What? And we go, Lord, don't you care about what I think? You ready for this? Y'all hold on your seats. This is going to fry some of you right here. God does not care what you think. I know this just messes with some of you. What do you mean? He doesn't listen to me when I pray? Not most of the time. Because most of you that pray like that, you're always giving God an earth report. How many of y'all are always giving God an earth report? Well, Lord, don't you know? He knows! You know what we miss most of the time in prayer? How many of y'all spend more time talking to God than you do listening to God? You say, well, God won't speak. Maybe you won't get quiet. Because you know what? We're scared to hear God. Because you know what? Let me tell you something about God. He's never confusing. He's never vague. He's exactly to the point. And most of us that are running around saying, well, God won't answer my prayer, that's not really what's going on. We're running around claiming this. I don't want to receive the answer God has. Because guess what God says sometimes? No. No. How many of y'all been children at least once somewhere in your life? Been children? How many of y'all ever did this? Your mom said no and you went and worked your dad. Or your dad said no and you went and worked your mom. Did any of y'all do that? Get your hand up, Clayson. Okay, how many of y'all, Jamie Ward, did you ever do that to your parents? Yeah? Angela, did you ever do that to your parents? No. That's why God made you a children's pastor. Keith Martin, did you ever do that to your parents? Do you ever go get grandparents and bring them in too just for double support? Absolutely. We want our way, so we don't want to listen. We get the answer we don't want to hear. We want to find a way to hear the answer we want to what? Hear. How many of y'all go to several different doctors? Should they tell you what you want to hear? You know, if a doctor tells me I can't eat steak, I want to go find a doctor that's a steak-eating doctor. You see what I'm saying? So when something bad happens to me, I can say, it's his fault. All right, we there? Once. Now, how many of y'all glad these are great words in Scripture? Once you were. That's great words in Scripture. Every one of you here ought to have that title in you. Once you were. I used to be like, but now I am. How many of you glad to know when you stay away from the cross, you are always were. You were here. You were going to get saved is a bad deal. Somebody hear that? When you stand before judgment and you act like a Kentuckian, well, now, Lord, I was going to receive you, but I just never got around to it. I didn't know if you were real or not. I didn't know if I could put my life in you. Now, watch this. Listen to the sound of those things. What does it involve? It involves the mindset that I understand the whole universe. You know what I know? I don't understand most of the universe. But I understand the grace of God. I don't understand all the complexities of the world. I don't pretend to, and I won't tell you that I do. When scientists ask me, what about all the Big Bang and all that kind of stuff? I said, God said, let there be light. Bang! I don't know how he did it. I just know that he did it. I'm cool with that. I don't care how you cook bacon. I just want to eat it. I don't need to know the details. But I want to live in the results. Now, once you were, though, you need to know this detail. Every one of us here were a part of once you were. Those who've received Christ, you once were like this. Look what he says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your what? Because of your evil behavior. Now, no, let me, where does evil come from? Let's get to this. Evil starts in the what? And then leads to a what? Action. Guess what needs to be changed? Our minds. Now, think with me for just a minute. How many of y'all have some thinking in your life that just needs to change today? Let me give you some things I hear that kill people most of the time. You think you're unworthy. That's a big one. Well, I'm not worthy. So if I'm not worthy, I can't do this. I tangle with another big one. You owe me. How many of y'all run around with the you owe me card all the time? You owe me. I think one of the reasons we got over a half our marriages destroyed is because we got two people that come together that are on the you owe me cycle. How many of y'all ever tried to live in a marriage like that? Well, you owe me. You should do this because I've done this. And you go, da-da, 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 da-da. Boy, that's a sorry way to live. Because marriage won't work unless you have forgiveness. Amen? Barry Lindsay, even you probably done something you shouldn't have done at least once or twice, hadn't you? I mean, you've at least gotten your wife upset, even though you had the incredible vows of all vows. Nobody's topped you yet in 20 years. But still what? We all mess up. Bobby, even though you can play the guitar and you can echo, you know, licks and phrases and wonderful things to the Lord Jesus Christ, I bet you've disturbed Robin more than once. Okay, I'm just showing you. How many of y'all have disturbed each other more than once? Huh? Yeah, why? How many of y'all have gotten in a fight because you wanted what you wanted? Most of the time when I'm sweet, it's because I want something. Isn't that true, Elizabeth? Like sometimes I'll come in and just be nice and she'll go, what do you want now? I said, that insults me. But what am I trying to do? My thinking is I want to get it what? My way. Now, listen, once you were alienated, you were enemies. Look at the words of the scripture there. You were enemies to God. Now, here's why we were enemies to God. We don't think like He thinks. And here's why. We think on the temporary always. Think about it. A life without God, how does that life run? Day to day, moment to moment, it seeks what? Temporary pleasures. It'll be driven to pleasure, it'll be driven to temporary satisfaction, and it'll be driven for my pleasure, my experience. Now, when we think like that, what happens to the actions of our life? We become vulnerable to every kind of disaster, don't we? Because if we think about today, we don't think long range. Guess what God sees? Beginning and the end. Isn't that neat? So here's part of your mind change. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life to forgive you all of your sins, now you have the ability in Jesus, through Jesus, by Jesus, with Jesus, to begin to think on beginning and end principles. Did y'all realize that? We actually join eternity the moment we receive grace. So now I don't think like I used to. I used to think about right now, and God allows me to think about forever now. Mark, you hit a crisis Thursday night, wouldn't you agree? Now, if you didn't have Jesus in your life, what would you be thinking about right now? A house. And that's all you could what? Because that's all you had. See, that's why you see people just go absolutely maniac depressed when they lose a loved one and don't have Jesus Christ in their life. They ought to be. Because if it's a life without Jesus Christ, it's over. It's done. Forever. It's done forever. And until you realize that, because you know what? A lot of us hold a false hope. We say, well, surely a loving and merciful God's going to give people a second, third, fourth, fifth chance. He's giving you one. It's now. You've heard the grace of God now. He's been very plain. Once you were alienated, now you can be brought into. It's now. Tony, it's not later. It's now. And God keeps giving His grace over and over and over again. But what do we think, Doc? We think, I got time to get to God. How many of y'all have ever thought like that? One day, someday, Kevin, I'm going to straighten up, right? One day down the road, it's all going to get better. Sounds like a country song. Some of y'all believe this. When I get my life right, then I'm going to follow Jesus. Well, here's what I want you to know. I want you to hear the scripture today. You can't get your life right till you follow Jesus. Everybody understand that? It doesn't straighten up. Becomes this stupid. It's like all y'all that want to clean up before you take a bath. I hear this all the time about baptism. Well, Pastor, once I quit drinking beer, I'll get baptized. You might as well start now getting baptized. See, we got this wrong understanding. It's a start. Baptism's the start of a new life. A new way of what? Thinking, considering, living. And really, it's this. Focus. Focus. The more you focus eternally, the more you will live practically. That's amazing, isn't it? The more I look long range with God, the better I live short term. It's crazy, isn't it, Debbie? Because it looks like if I focused on short term, then I'd have better what? Long range. But hold on, think about that way of thinking. Who does that thinking depend on? Me. And guess what? Y'all are a smart congregation. Y'all got smart. We got smarts at Hillview. But we're not smart enough for eternity. That makes sense? Our government has some real smart people in it. It really does. But they can't think through eternity. You see, we're trying to save ourselves intellectually. And if you're truly an intellectual, you will look at the reality of the practical and you will come to the conclusion, it's not working. And once you come to the conclusion that it's not working, repentance comes in. And repentance says, you know what? I'm going to change my mind. How many of y'all glad to know that God gave us the ability to change our mind? That's one of the greatest gifts we have that we use rarely. I can change my what? Mind. Well, let's look at it. You and I were alienated from God. We were enemies in what? In our minds. Because of our evil behavior, we were separated. And guess what God does? He takes away the separation. But now he has reconciled you. How many of y'all glad to know you've been reconciled? You've been reconciled. What does that mean? God took where you were off, where you were out of order, and put you in his order. How many of y'all have ever been to an airport? Anybody here been to an airport? Anybody ever landed on the plane? After you land on well, obviously all of you've landed because you're here. Once you land and you get out of the plane, what's one of the first things? Usually, I want to go to the facility. All right? How many of y'all have ever been disturbed when you at the airport, you land, you're kind of moving quickly toward the facility, and all of a sudden there's a sign on the facility. And what does the sign read? I've always thought that was weird. How the facility can be out of order for 15 minutes and then instantly be brought back in order. But it can't be used when it's what? Out of order. How many of y'all have ever been to a vending machine and had that little sign on there? What? Out of order. How many of you all need on Monday mornings to have a sticker on your head? Out of order. So people can at least be warned. I'm out of order today. Hold on. Reconciliation does this. Puts us in what? Order. Let me tell you what it took. But he has now reconciled you by Christ's physical body through what? Death, through death, it took death to bring us to life. Now that's in everything in life. Seed's got to die to bring more seed. Something's got to die to bring life. Make sense? For you to be a good parent, you got to quit being selfish so your kids can be poured into. For you to live in marriage, you can't have everything you want because now you got to start thinking we instead of me. Isn't that true? If you're going to go to school, if you're going to go to school and you're going to be successful, you have to decide to listen to what the professors are saying and not just what you want to do. You have to make a mind change to progress in life. True or false? And I'm glad to know that God did not create us mindless. Now, Aubrey, I'm glad you're here today because this is your kind of sermon. But you know what? People don't like it that they get to make choices anymore. Because choices call forth what? Oh, there's the big R word. I mean, that's just like a cuss word today. Responsibility. I mean, it's just like I'm freaked out. I listen on the TV, and you would think single motherhood is a disease. I mean, you really would, to hear people talk. It's like women walk down the sidewalk and all of a sudden become pregnant. They can't help it. There's no choice to it. I don't know what's changed, but the last time I read about pregnancy, it took two individuals to do it. One being of the male species and the other being of the female species. And they had to do a little to get that going on. And you know what? If you go, no, there ain't no baby. And if you go no and he goes yes and continues yes, he will be dressed in an orange suit shortly. And if you go no and he tries yes, God permits you to change your mind and locate your foot in a tender area of his person. And then run. Hold on. These are all what? Choices. But to hear everybody talk, nobody can control their what? Choices. Nobody can control them. Hold on. Am I not telling you the world we live in? Y'all want to sit there and go, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. It's not like that. People don't have choices. They come from bad backgrounds. Hold on. We all come from a bad background. You cannot use the nice little, you know, I come from a dysfunctional family cop out. Because guess what? We all come from a dysfunctional family. A hell of a dysfunctional family. We all come from one big fallen race, human. And then here comes the good news. God said, even though you were dysfunctional, I have come to make you functional. That's hallelujah, man. I don't understand why we can't tell everybody that. I like it. We get to tell people you don't have to be dead. Really, when you share the gospel, guess what? You ain't got to be dead. You do not have to be dead. You do not have to stay where you are. You do not have to continue to think like this. You do not have to stay in this position. Check it out. You don't have to stay poor. God can do more than welfare. You know how most people get out of poverty? Ain't got nothing to do with work. Change your mind. Because see, people that got a poverty mentality, it doesn't matter how much money they make, they stay poor. Because they got a poor wire up here. They'll waste their money. I've seen them. They'll spend $500 on tennis shoes and none on their rent. It's a way of thinking. Because they'd rather look good than sleep well. And it's easy to think like that when I pay for their rent. See, we create what? Here's what we'll do. Watch, here's what I found. Just an observation. Our minds are so poor, even when we try to help people, we'll imprison them. So what is God's ultimate gift in salvation? Freedom. Freedom to live, freedom to recover, freedom to move forward, freedom to not be where I once was, to live like no other way than in Jesus. He says, look, you once were alienated, but now you're not. Death caused this to happen. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. No one can accuse you. If you don't mind, just look at your neighbor and say, you are free. Please tell them that. You're free. And so guess what? Alan, don't go back and get what? I'm free, so don't go back and get what? Containment. How many of y'all take your freedom and contain yourself? Some of you do. I've heard you. You say, well, God can't do this. Yes, he can. Well, I can't. Listen, I really believe that this is going to be a little tough this morning. I believe it is very disrespectful to God when a follower of Jesus tells somebody what they can't do. Now, I think if you're being honest, I can't do this, but I think this always has to be a part of our thinking. But with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Amen. Now, they either are or they're not. Which one is it? But I don't know about you. I get to live in a church called Hillview Heights Church, and I've seen living miracles at Hillview Heights Church. Here's what I love about Hillview Heights Church. Not only do I hear the Word of God, not only do I see the Word of God, it is living among us. Our lives are being reshaped by it. I wouldn't preach Jesus if it didn't work. I don't need another philosophy. Lord, we got enough philosophies to choke a horse. I need something that changes my life. How many of y'all need something that changes my life? And I don't have a something. I have a somebody named Jesus, who is the Son of God, crucified, resurrected, and forever. So what is this? This is what? Amazing stuff. See, you once were, now you can be. Isn't that neat? You once were, but now you can what? Now you can be. It's interesting. Look at here. Let's check it out. Let's make it happen. Let's let God speak to it in a big way. God wants to speak to it in a big way. What do you need to do? If you continue in your faith established and firm and do not move from the hope held out in the what? Gospel. Here's what I want to warn you about. Watch other hopes. Everybody has a hope. And everybody's trying to tell you there's something else other than the gospel. That's what was going on into the letter of Colossians. Paul's writing to make sure people stay in who? Jesus. People ask me all the time, how do you stay so focused on Jesus? Because we get so out of focus on Jesus through the week. True? We think about everything but what? Because here's the problem. Inside our minds, if we don't consciously stay focused on Jesus, what will we slide back to? Our way, our needs. How many does this sound familiar inside your head? I will, I think, I want, and I what?
Feel.
Feelings. We've had people leave the church because they felt like Pastor Steve didn't love them. Now, see, here's what the problem is. It doesn't matter what Pastor Steve does. They're going to hell no matter what Pastor Steve does. They cannot be changed by Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve's humanity, his friendship, his love, his companionship with them will not revolutionize their life. There's only one thing that will change their life, and that is what Jesus said. And we spend a lot of energy on how we feel about each other and who said what to us and who's done what to us and how we look, how we appear, how we think, but we spend very little energy on what has Jesus said. He said, you once were, now you are, and you don't have to think like you used to think. Amen. Anybody excited about that message? Amen. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Stay in there because it stays forever. Does that make sense? Stay in there because it stays what? Forever. It's the only thing that's going to be forever. It's the only thing that will last forever. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to you. Every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Paul said, this gospel, Jesus crucified, Jesus resurrected, Jesus presenting the opportunity of forgiveness to all of humanity, this gospel will work forever. It is worthy of everything you have. Amen. So the invitation today is this, not come be changed, but come let Jesus change you. Okay? It should be very clear today. If you're trying to save yourself, you can't. Amen. How many of y'all realize you can't? I love all of you. Y'all are great people. I'm telling you, listen, in Hillview, we're not as bad as the average bear, but we're bad enough to go to hell. Does that make sense? And I know some of y'all get disturbed. I love y'all. Y'all are so politically correct. And I'm not supposed to say hell. I'm supposed to say Hades. And I got a letter the other day. Pastor Ayers, my child, has heard the word hell. I said, good. Because they live in America. They're going to hear it over and over again. They're going to hear it experienced. Their leaders are going to teach them how to live in it. You know what our world's really teaching? Let me show you what we're really up against. I'm up against the philosophers every day that teach people how to live in hell. Because when I tell you, you can't change, I have just opened the doors of hell in your life and set you there. And the only person that can get you out is who? Jesus. Jesus. Think about the people that have made a difference forever. Forever. Hasn't God been the driver of their minds? God changed their mind. And so today, some of y'all need to change your mind. And you need to say, you know what, Lord, I believe you'll forgive me. I believe he will. How many of y'all are humans? Everybody here humans? I got good news. Jesus died for human beings. I don't know about whales. He doesn't say anything about them. That doesn't mean he doesn't care about them, but he didn't go up on a cross and say, may all the whales be saved. Kitty cats, trees, that kind of stuff he didn't die on a cross for. I don't know, Jamie. Do you think? Man, don't you wish all these fanatical, crazy environmentalists loved God as much as they did what he created? But see, when you don't believe he created it, then you believe you can change it. I mean, there's probably people thinking you can build a big enough vacuum cleaner to suck a tornado out of the sky. I guarantee you we got some idiots at their minds that twisted. And they're working on it. And they'll need a government loan of $5 trillion to figure out how to build that vacuum cleaner. That's where we are, folk. Now, hold on. You know what we ought to be embarrassed about? How loud's the story of Jesus in this culture? I'm not saying be obnoxious, but I'm saying the last time I checked, the First Amendment was still in vogue. It's called freedom of what? Speech. But hold on. We've become so weak in our faith that the least little bit of criticism from the world backs us away from the truth. So, Pastor Steve, if I say it to my friend, they won't like me. Let me help you with something. They're not a friend. If somebody only likes you because you like all the things they like, that's not a friend. A friend is you can disagree and live together. It's like marriage. If you tell me your spouse agrees with everything you do, that's a gross relationship. Love says, guess what, even though we disagree, we're going to go on and strong things are going to happen. Look at what Jesus said. I don't agree with your mind where it is, but I'm going to die so your mind can be where it could be in heaven on earth. Make sense? How many of y'all need some heaven thinking here on earth? All of us do. Isn't that neat? All right, has this made sense today? All right, I got a great opportunity. Did you realize that anybody in here today, by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, and only by the call of Jesus Christ, only by the power of the Holy Spirit, anybody in here today could be saved? Is that not amazing? You say, well, how in the world do I get saved? All right, first of all, you got to realize you've sinned. How many of y'all are that far along? That means this. If you look at the Ten Commandments, you've broke one of them sometime. How many of y'all have accomplished that so far? See, because some of you are going to go, Pastor Steve, I ain't killed nobody. Yeah, but you've lied and lusted. That's on the list, too. How many of y'all put more energy in this week to March Madness than you did to call of God? How many of y'all gave more to your office pool than you did to the offering? See, we'll give to what we believe. Guess what? March Madness is really cool. Y'all know what's going to happen. UK's going to win. But hold on. And that'll be forgotten in 2 months. Super Bowl's over. That's forgotten. Peyton Manning's no longer going to be quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. Oh, my goodness. How are they going to go on? I bet they'll get another quarterback. Tebow's a great quarterback, but guess what? That's not what he'll be remembered by. He is a man of great faith. See, there comes a time, are you going to plug into what is here for a moment, or are you going to let Jesus Christ take you to what is forever? That's what salvation is. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I have sinned, and I need you to forgive me. What do you think God's going to do?
Forgive you.
Here's all I can tell you. I've seen literally, thank God, praise God, bless his holy name. I've seen literally thousands of people pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I realize I've sinned. I realize I've messed up. I broke the Ten Commandments. I've lied. I've cheated. I've stealed. I've lusted. I've done all the things you asked me not to do. Lord Jesus, save me. And guess what he's done? I've never heard him do this. I'm sorry, you're not a part of the elect. I'll have to kick you out. I've never heard that, Don. I've never heard a man, a human being, man or woman, pray in repentance and God refuse them. Because guess what? If you up here praying, Something brought you up here and it wasn't you. I was asked the other day, they said, Pastor Ayers, why do you still give altar calls? Don't you understand that embarrasses people and they need to be comfortable in church? I said, what Bible you read? God's G-rated version? I said, did you take out all the wars, the sex, the violence, the lying, the manipulating, the rage, the prejudice? That's what you'd have to take out of the Bible to get it rated G. Because guess what the Bible's about? People who were once alienated from God, enemies of God, people that don't think like God. And then it has this wonderful, just absolute crescendo. There's this Lord who dies on the cross and who raises from death to bring life to all of creation. That's where we live. So let's stand together. Some of y'all need to receive that today. Some of you need to come to be baptized. You need to confess, I am risen with the Lord. How many of y'all need to come out of that baptismal water and say, I'm risen with the Lord. Jesus has risen me. Some of you need to come today and you need to pray for your friends. All right, listen, Easter's coming up. When's one other time people will come to church other than Christmas?
Easter.
How many of y'all already got somebody to invite here for Easter? You need to get here. Listen, guys. All I can do is ask you. I can't make you do it. Do you really believe the world's going to get better without Jesus? I'm sorry I don't have a complex plan. I'd like to have a complex plan so I could write a 13-series book and be a millionaire. Okay, but it's a real simple plan. You must engage people with Jesus Christ one at a time. And every time somebody gets saved, the world gets one person better. Now watch this. You get enough of that thinking saturated, and then what happens is long-range thinking takes over short-term pleasure. Because that's what's happened to our world. We just flipped it. All the long-term thinkers shut up, and the short-term thinkers became a dominant voice. It's either going to be about you, or it's going to be about Jesus. If Jesus has called you today, why don't you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me my sins. That'll change you forever. How many of you today just need to come and pray and say, God, thank God for the blessings that are in my life. Amen. You know what? I'd love for some of you in this church to come and pray and thank God. I think we need to thank God every once in a while. I've preached today. I don't know how long, but I've preached, and I'm not fearful of being shot right now. But hold on. I couldn't say a word that I've said today in Egypt because of their loving, peaceful, compassionate religion. Not one word. Want to guess what they'd done to me today in Cairo if I said what I said here today? Claypool, they would have cut my throat. And guess who would have cut it? A loving, peaceful, compassionate religion. Wake up! One of the things I hope you will do at Hillview, or one of the things you might need to leave, I'm not going to let you be stupid. And evil is evil no matter who says it's good. And you got to stand someday. Evil is evil. Evil is evil. And guess what? Here's the good news, though. God has always been greater than evil. Always. Always. Lord, you are our God. You have reconciled us, God. I just want to thank you right now. I'm amazed that I can be saved. There was at one time my mind turned against you. I didn't focus on you. I didn't want to hear from you. But Lord Jesus, I thank you for the blood of Jesus personally in my life that gives me the ability to share these words of life. Lord, I pray today that the Holy Spirit has drawn people to understand they can be forgiven today. So Lord, right now, change their mind. Lord, I pray people that need to repent, no matter what they've been into, God, may they come and change their mind about that today. So just heal our lives in areas. Lord, for those that need to be baptized, may they stand up today in the name of Jesus, do what is obedient unto you, and confess their faith in the Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your love, your power, your truth, your compassion, but most of all, your reality in an everyday world. So God, may we celebrate you at this altar. In the name of Jesus, amen. Church, I have the privilege right here on Nashville Road to invite you to come and pray. to come and receive Christ, to hold hands with each other, to pray for each other, to let the Holy Spirit heal you. Do not take these moments for granted. Celebrate what God is doing in our lives together. Come. Thank you for coming. Come on. Come on. Some of you need to come to get saved. Let God move. Let God move. Let God move. Let Him move. Let Him move.